Visit our website, redeyescreations.com. Archives filled with exciting, upsetting, and encouraging information. Sterling Allen is the primary driving force behind PESWiki.com, PESN.com, and FreeEnergyNews.com. Pure Energy Systems Network, of which he is the CEO, is the primary news director and networking service, whose mission is to find and facilitate the best exotic free energy technologies. It's aided by the New Energy Congress, which Allen founded in 2005 as an association of energy professionals from around the world who review the most promising claims to existing and up-and-coming breakthrough energy technologies that are clean, renewable, affordable, reliable, easy to implement, safe, and more importantly, legitimate. Mr. Allen's graduate studies at Brigham Young University and the University of Arizona were in bioelectrochemistry. Prior to his focused involvement in free energy, Allen was an activist in promoting principles of freedom and defending them against forces conspiring to establish world tyranny. Stay tuned as we discuss how free energy can help to defeat the conspirators and the top five most promising developments in free technology. Welcome back to Red Eyes Radio. Sterling Allen, it's been over a year since we last talked, way too long in my opinion, but obviously we have some new and exciting development that has happened since that time on the free energy front. So we're very glad to have you back with us on the program today, Sterling. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Hendrik. I enjoy your show.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. And we have obviously some updates we want to run through, some of the new developments, as I mentioned. But before we do that, though, maybe you wouldn't mind if we kind of make a little call, if you will, over to Infowars.com and actually discuss one of your articles that you wrote recently about using free energy environmentalism to actually defeat the New World Order. This is an open letter to Alex Jones and to Infowars, obviously. Tell us a little bit about this. You are obviously on the right at the cutting edge of free energy technologies, and I think it's a very important, you know, topic to put this and your work into context. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, one of the things that you see happen is, in the U.S. at least, I don't know what it's like there in Europe, but there's a real dichotomy between left and right, and the environmentalism is seen as a leftist issue. And what happens is that the right tends to poo-poo or distance themselves or stay away from anything that smacks of environmentalism, because it's become a politicized issue, which is totally ridiculous, because the environment is a nonpartisan issue. It shouldn't be across party lines. And I myself come from a fairly conservative political background, where you might see, you know, tending more toward the Republican end of the spectrum or the Libertarian end of the spectrum. And yet, I don't have any problem whatsoever seeing the need for humans to live lightly on the earth and not rape the earth. We need to be responsible in how we use the resources. And yet, I don't see that sentiment very strongly among Republicans. And I scratch my head and I don't understand why. And I think part of the reason why, I'm sure part, a big part of the reason actually, is people who become awakened to what's going on in the world political climate, with the conspiracies to establish world socialist government, a police state tyrannical type of mentality, they have used the environment as a bully card to push people into very austerity types of, you know, we've got to tone down our weight on the earth, we've got to back off. And it gives people, it gives them a reason to impose carbon taxes and regulations, and because we're all in this nest together, so let's stop pooping in the nest. There's some good arguments behind it, but what they do is they take it to the nth degree. They exaggerate it, and they actually turn it into a hoax or a fraud with the extent to which they exaggerate things and make up data in order to use environmentalism as a reason to impose their New World Order agendas. And I use an analogy. Recently, we exposed a scam called the Howard Johnson Motor scam, where you see various iterations of this on the web, where it says, download these plans and you can power your house. It's cheap, it's easy. Mm-hmm. And for $47, you can get the plans of how to build a device that may take 2 hours, less than $100, and you can power your house. I mean, on the face of it, anyone who knows energy knows that that's absolutely ridiculous. Mm. That's juvenile in its understanding of how expensive and difficult and dangerous and time-consuming energy is for a home. I mean, when you're dealing with kilowatts, you don't want novices coming at it. They say the newcomer, newbie, can do this. And you don't have newbies playing with kilowatts of electricity. They'll get killed. And so what they do is they take the Howard Johnson magnet motor, which actually did get 3 U.S. patents, and they say, it all started with a no, and they appeal to people's desire to be mavericks and to go against the man and to become independent. These are all great arguments, but what they do is they build a scam around this. There was such a thing as the Howard Johnson magnet motor, but it's arguable as to whether it actually self-ran for any period of time. It was very expensive. And they say, thousands of people have now successfully powered their home with this thing, and that's totally ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they've done is they take kind of a semi-legitimate science, and they've taken a legitimate quest of becoming independent, and they've fabricated all this information, and they've actually pirated a lot of information. They've pirated stuff from my website. I can recognize it because I put it there. And they say, basically, what they're calling the Howard Johnson motor, their simplified Howard Johnson motor, is actually a Bedini schoolgirl motor, which has a patent on it by John Bedini.
Yeah. Interesting.
We're the ones that posted those plans back in 2004. I was the first one to replicate that using those plans. My mother-in-law was the second one, and it didn't take us a few hours. It's semi-easy. It's called a schoolgirl because a schoolgirl was able to build it with his instruction. That's why it got its name. So it's relatively easy, but and those particular plans are in the ballpark at $100 if you get some stuff from the junkyard and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to power anything, let alone your house. You're going to have an input battery that's going to turn this wheel that has magnets around the perimeter that charges an output coil that charges your output batteries. But there's a net loss in the system, not a net gain of the system. And anyone who is getting some net gain, supposedly, it's just it's minuscule. It's not something that's going to be powering your house. So they've taken some legitimate stuff and they've totally exaggerated and turned it into a huge fraud. And they're raking in the bucks on the scam.
Is this also, do you think, in part because they want to offer a fraudulent solution of sorts, so that people will, if they hear about this first, they will go down this avenue, and if it turns out that it doesn't work, of course, then people get disheartened with these types of new technologies, and they say, nothing like this kind of works. So it actually turns more and more people away from the whole idea of free energy.
Actually, I think what happens most of the time is people download the plans, and they look at the plans. They look pretty legitimate. And they go, it's a little bit over my head. I'm going to postpone working on that. These guys offer a 60-day money-back guarantee, and they honor that. I bought the plans, and I got my money back and let them know that we had an expose about them. No problem. Get your money back. So that sniff test passes. It looks okay. It just looks over your head. Maybe I'm just too dumb to do this. I even though they say it's easy, this is just too much for me. It's not something I want to. And also, there's not the confidence level. There's no photos of finished units that are powering houses. And so I think most people just kind of tuck it away as, I'll get to that later. and don't even consider this being a scam. And to those, I think these plans actually serve a positive purpose of getting them thinking about free energy, thinking about the possibility of magnet motors and electromagnetic overunity. And for them, it's good. I would say that the good purpose has been served. The problem is that anyone who does a little investigating is going to realize that this is bogus. So rather than to belabor this too much more, the analogy here is that that is precisely what the powers that be do with the environmentalism. They take a legitimate concern, the planet, and our use of the planet, our abuse of the planet, and they turn all these, they build these bogus arguments about global warming, and when in fact the cycle of temperature on the Earth is much more tied to the sun than it is to the carbon we're emitting and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
And they create a bunch of bogus science, quote-unquote, and they buy out scientists, and it's crazy the level of hoax that they're running on this. And so people who understand the conspiracy see the handwriting and see the fingerprints of the conspiracy on the environmentalism push to use that to get us to accept draconian measures to sell us into a new world order. And so environmentalism becomes a bad word. And you don't want to be an environmentalist because they're enemies of freedom. You see that association that's made there. But they don't back up and say, well, we do need... Well, actually, they do. I've heard the same people like Alex Jones say, we do need to be responsible to how we live on the planet. We do need to be...
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with environmentalism per se. But what happens is free energy is in the same ballpark as environmentalism because it's clean, it's affordable, renewable, super cheap, and so because it gets classified as environmentalism, the people on the right who tend to be the ones who are waking up to the conspiracy to create a global police state, they write off free energy as something that's really not their bailiwick because they're not environmentalists.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to be associated with the lefties.
So
does that make sense?
Absolutely. It's obvious, from my point of view up here in Northern Europe as well, that socialists have hijacked the environmental movement. We definitely noticed that when we went to the COP15 over in Copenhagen back in 2000, was it 9 or 10? Anyway, we saw, you know, hammers and sickles everywhere being turned into windmills, you know, symbolically on their flags and stuff like that. So that's, you know, not news to me in that sense, but how do you think that we can kind of get back to the real issue, in a sense, then, of free energy? Because what you're doing is obviously very, very different than the environmentalism that we hear about in the papers today. For instance, even we heard recently about someone from Oregon University now, as a sociologist, a lady into environmental studies, Kari Nurgaard, I think her name was. And she's talking about, you know, environmentalists being those who deny it, being dubbed as having a mental sickness, basically. And they propose ideas that people should, you know, be crammed into, denser cities so the planet can, breathe and things like that. I mean, it's ridiculous, those types of ideas. But how do we disassociate these two, free energy and the faulty environmentalism, Sterling?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I put in this article and this open letter to Alex Jones is, first of all, we made the points we just did, that there's this aversion to environmentalism, and we shouldn't use that aversion to the bastardized environmentalism to be an aversion to free energy, because free energy solves all the environmental problems that the environmentalists talk about. It provides clean, affordable energy. It enables us to clean up our landfills, because one of the free energy technologies is waste to energy, taking our refuse and turning it into energy. So you clean up and you provide energy at the same time in affordable ways. There's a number of great technologies in that sector. It mitigates economic collapse, because all the jobs that can be created by these revolutionary technologies that are really close to market now, several that are probably within this year we'll see them available commercially. And think of all the jobs it can create, and the hope as an antidote to the fear that the conspirators try to instill in us. You know, well, we got to be worried about these guys, what about that?
Mm.
If you have hope that there's better days ahead, that's a major antidote to the economic collapse of, you know, everything's falling apart mentality. It also fosters independence from the grid, which is one of the ways that the powers that be control us is through energy.
Absolutely. That's a major, a very, very important point in this whole equation as a means to defeat, as you write in the article, the New World Order. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. If you've got your own power, you're not beholden to them anymore. You can become independent, and you can basically be your own person. You can, rather than working at a day job doing something you hate, you can start doing what you love, and you're six times more productive when you do something that you love. And so imagine the prosperity that comes in the spirit of the movie Thrive, which is excellent, by the way. I love that documentary with Foster Gamble pulled together and his wife and others. But also, free energy provides a way to survive if we do get to the point of collapsing and we don't end up mitigating this collapse that they're pushing on us. Free energy provides us a way to survive through it, and it provides a way to rebuild after the collapse. And so these are all heavy reasons why people like Alex Jones and other people who are awakened to this conspiracy that's trying to destroy the planet and enslave us all, these are great reasons to get behind free energy as a very activist type of thing, because free energy is a major antidote to what's wrong with this planet.
Absolutely. And you've mentioned a few times in a few of the other article as well that you know, InfoWars and Alex Jones at the spearhead of that, of course, have been kind of close a little bit in certain cases and touching upon this, but I guess from your perspective, I guess you consider a little bit that he's missing a little bit of the points. Is that something you could talk a little bit more about?
Yeah, I mean, people like Alex Jones and others, they're great to talk about what's wrong, but they are not very good. I don't think they've ever had anyone on the show that any time that I've been tracking it heavily for the last 2+ years, actually closer to 3 years, they haven't had a single guest whose topic is free energy. Yet they have people talking on about health and all kinds of other tangential things to freedom, but they haven't had any guests talking about free energy exclusively and the breakthroughs that are coming and emerging. So there's a dearth there. There's a void of coverage. And the point that I make finally in this article is that not only is free energy something we can be supporting, but we can actually be protected against the very conspirators who were trying to take down or unseat, because they have made environmentalism this big rally call, and environmentalism is totally consistent with free energy. And so all of this momentum that they have created to want to build a cleaner, greener planet works in our favor. And so it's like the martial arts where somebody, an enemy comes with you or against you, you can take them, put them off balance, and use a countermeasure and take them out. So something that was intended to take you out ends up doing the opposite. They end up taking themselves out with the very move that they intended to take you out with. And environmentalism is that key. Environmentalism is totally consistent with free energy. And so they're not going to be taking our websites down. They're not going to be intimidating and trying to, because we've got so much momentum on our behalf. Everyone wants a clean planet now, thanks in part to them. And so free energy provides a clean planet, provides affordable energy. Everyone wants that thanks to their push, and free energy is the answer. So let's do it. Meanwhile, free energy makes them obsolete. Because now we're empowered, we don't need the control paradigm to tell us what to do, how many shoes we can buy in a year, etc.
Yep.
It renders them completely useless and irrelevant.
Absolutely, and that's why this is so important. I mean, just think about what you could do production-wise on a local level if you had access to free energy. It's just amazing. But absolutely, I mean, so this is no bashing in any regard in this sense. This is a friendly hand being reached out to InfoWars, I guess, in that sense, to just get to recognize the very important step in the empowerment process as a way to defeat the conspirators, to begin to put a little bit of focus on free energy. And of course, again, as I mentioned before, Sterling, you were kind of at the, you know, right there at the cutting edge of this as well. So why don't we, with that then, unless there's anything else you want to mention on that note, you know, we could go ahead and talk about some of the latest stuff. What do you think, Sterling?
Sure, that'd be great. Let's talk about some of these solutions that are getting really close to market.
Absolutely. There are so many, of course. There, I remember a few of them that we talked about last time. You still have your top5energy.com website up. It's a shortcut address, of course, to pesvicky.com, your main website where you kind of track and trace a lot of these developments. And, of course, I guess one thing that's different a little bit anyway from last time we talked over a year ago now is that you've actually now went out on the road, you've actually visited many of these you know locations that there and people who are claiming to be behind some of this. Why don't we begin there and tell us about some of the exciting things that you've actually seen during this past year, Sterling?
Sure. This last February, I was invited to go down to South Africa, and we gave the first and only coverage to a 5-kilowatt generator system that uses an input motor, a DC motor powered by a battery bank, to turn a 5-kilowatt generator that produces, of course, 5 kilowatts of electricity or less. In our case, we were watching it power 4-kilowatt load, resistive heaters, fan, and whatnot. And it did so much longer than it could have done had it just been running from the batteries alone. There was something else going on there. The batteries were barely diminishing, and supposedly you had an input bank that was that was running the system, and then an output bank that was being charged by the back EMF and other things going on with the circuit, pulling energy from the environment somehow in the spirit of Nikola Tesla, who had come up with a number of ways to pull energy from what he called the wheel work of nature, which is an inexhaustible source, and many different ways of harnessing the wheel work of nature. You know, for example, you've got solar is one kind, wind is another kind, geothermal is another kind. These are all genres. And there are probably 20 to 40 genres of free energy to be had, free for the taking, inexhaustible, ubiquitous. And some of these other Tesla type of technologies have the advantage over solar and wind that they're 24/7 available.
Yeah.
They don't diminish.
That's right.
And that's what this technology appeared to be, is that it was getting that 5 kilowatts somehow in its circuitry, was pulling from the environment to keep those batteries basically topped off. So that's what I saw, and we put them close to, I think we had them at number one and number two, neck and neck with a cold fusion technology, which is also really close and has about as much power, except in heat rather than electricity, for like heating a home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How, if we just for a moment then continue to look at the South African device in that sense, and what, how much do you actually get to see of it, and how much did the inventor, if that's the right word, actually show to you? Did you get to see all the components and actually understand how the whole thing works, or is it a little bit more secretive than that, Sterling?
The secret is in the circuitry and how he runs the circuit to pull the back EMF off of the DC motor that's driving it, which is not going to give you over 100%. There's something else going on that is pulling energy into the system so that you get a net 5 kilowatts. I saw the whole setup except what was going on with the circuitry. They did not divulge, and they're not going to be divulging, this is going to be a trade secret, what they do with their circuitry to make this work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I take that back. We saw it run for 40 minutes before we, it was lunchtime and several people needed to go, and so we took a break at that point. I kicked myself, I was planning on being there for 3 or 4 days, and I was planning on coming back, and so I didn't see it as an issue as, you know, taking a break for lunch. The thing was still running when we left, mm-hmm. It was running when we came back 3 hours later. And so, and the batteries were still in good shape. So it was running 3 hours continuous, and if you do the math on how long that system could have run if it was just running from the batteries with nothing else going on, would have been about 35 minutes.
Okay.
And everything would have gone down to zero. I would have depleted everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw it run for 40 minutes without a hiccup. I mean, it was running solid, no diminishing whatsoever, you know, audibly and listening to the thing run. And when we came back from lunch, he was still running at the same, you know, level of vigor, so to speak, to use layman terms.
Yeah.
Then what happened is, I think I got a little bit too exuberant in my acceptance of that as adequate. And rather than stick around and do some additional tests, which I should have done, I kicked myself for not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Just to satisfy the skeptics a little better, I took this opportunity to head over to Greece, Athens, Greece, when they were on fire, burning their buildings and stuff.
Right, right.
I headed over there to check out cold fusion technology. But there's a follow-up to the South African story. They were supposed to, at that time, they were a month away from producing the first 200 units for sale to their first customers for beta testing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to skip their alpha testing, which is in-house testing by, you know, in-house interest, you know, members of your own company doing the testing as opposed to, you know, your first customer, that's beta testing. But they were going to skip alpha testing and go to straight to alpha, and we and others encouraged them to, they should do alpha testing, and they finally agreed to do alpha testing. But anyway, when I went to South Africa, they were going to give me one of those 5 kilowatt, one of the first 200 units, and I was going to have that back here in Utah to run my house with.
How big is it, just so people get an idea?
It's about the size of, let's say half of a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so not too big. Is it like, is it heavy, a lot of components to it, or is it just like a box kind of thing?
Well, it's four batteries, four 12-volt deep cycle batteries, a DC motor and an AC generator, both of which are maybe 10 inches, 12 inches in diameter, and maybe a foot or less long.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that big.
There's a little bit of a weight to it, obviously, with the batteries and everything included there, then?
Yeah, you, with everything encased with the batteries, you're probably looking at 150 pounds. And I apologize, I'm not familiar enough with kilos to say what that would be.
Sure, no problem. It's I'm bad at that, too. But, yeah, something maybe 50, 60 kilos?
It'd take a couple of guys to lift it.
Yeah. In any regard, Sterling, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about some of the other aspects to this then. Well, are you now going to end up with one, or has this not panned out? What happened here?
Well, what happened was, in their alpha testing, they found out that one of the units that they had running continuously, they said that after 3 to 4 months of continuous running, the batteries are hammered. They won't take the charge anymore. These are batteries that are supposed to last with continuous use, for example, in a solar setting for maybe 5 years. And after 3 to 4 months, they're dead.
Mm.
And so the process that's involved here is they need to figure out either using ultra-capped capacitors or some way to buffer what's coming from the device into the battery so it's not turning and sulfating them and things like that. There's things that they can do, and so there's basically back to the drawing board to resolve some of these issues before they put in this out for customers. And, you know, that could take a few weeks, it could take a few months. Don't know how long it's going to take them. So basically they went from being, in our top five to being, I think, the number seven in our runners up to the top five.
Yeah.
Because of the being pushed back time-wise and also the question of, is it ready to go? Which tells you that some of the other things on our list are really close, that would push them back that far just by being pushed back a few months.
That's exciting in that sense, because that means there's a lot of, different solutions here that are struggling to make it to number one, of course, in that sense, on your list. So is there anything else you want to mention about this then? They obviously have a little bit of updates or fixes to do on this before they can kind of... market it or go ahead further. Do you know what they're doing next here?
Yeah, let me give you, we've not given a name that people can kind of Google to read up on this. We're calling it the South African Fuel-Free Generator.
Okay, yeah.
Fuel-Free Generator is the name they came up with, and they don't want the company name or personnel names out there yet until they're ready to go. This is being financed by a very wealthy businessman down there who's got a reputation to keep, and he doesn't want, he wants his reputation maintained, very important to them down there. And so when they go, they're going to go big. We were fortunate to be able to give them even this anonymous coverage without naming them.
So that's great. You have a little bit. You have the exclusive on that, obviously. Yeah.
And one of the things that's exciting about this is we were put in the position of being the gatekeepers for people interested in licensing the technology. And we had approximately 200 legitimate or seemingly credible companies contact us with licensed interest from around the world. And what that did for me personally is it pushed me into starting what I'm calling phase two of our PES Network Inc. company, focusing more on the network aspecting to actually get a network of licensees ready to go so that when a technology such as this, whether it's this one or another one, is ready to go to license their technology, we already have companies around the world that are screened, vetted. We know that this company is able to represent Vietnam. This one's ready to represent Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already gone through, we're familiar with kind of the whole, we know that they're a company that we can recommend to the startup, say, here are some companies that we would recommend you look into for licensing.
That's excellent. So things are moving along on that front already. So that's work that doesn't have to be done because, we've commented on this before. Why is it moving so slow? Why is it not happening? But obviously, if people want to attain some level of, license, if everything is not open source, as we discussed last time, then it's obviously very, very difficult to implement these things. And just to make it available in all countries at once, that takes huge effort and, a lot of things to do there. But so that's a really good, thing to hear that. Where are we in the next of in terms of some of the items on the list in case they finish the South African fuel, generator on that sense, Sterling?
Okay, really quick, let me just go through. And I should say this top five list is dynamic. It's like a horse race. And, right now one's in front and these others are behind and the list is moving up and down. One company might have a breakthrough that pushes them forward. Another one might have a setback that pushes them back a few notches. And this thing I just mentioned about the South African group put them back from number two to number seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The thing that's number one and has been ever since I visited them the day after leaving Johannesburg to visit the South African technology is Defcalion, a group in Greece that has a cold fusion technology in the range of 5 to 45 kilowatts, depending on what your needs are. The same unit will provide that range of power, of heat power, and they are very close to market. Probably we're looking at mid-2012 when you can start purchasing this thing commercially. They're in the process right now of third-party testing, which is going very well, exceptionally well, better than expectations. Some very serious companies, seven that they mentioned at the beginning, not by name, but there were seven groups lined up to be licensees of their technology. Each licensee is a 300,000 unit a year plant. So rather than by territory, they're doing it by power plant and the plant capacity to produce. And so each one of these independent groups was going to be licensing one of these plants, one or more.
Wow, Defcalion. So cold fusion, just for people who might be newcomers, wasn't this the thing that wasn't supposed to work? What happened?
Well, it's been called junk science by academia, and we could spend a whole 2 hours talking about how that happened.
Yeah.
And the powers that be, how they actually, as an agenda item, the people at MIT who were being paid by the hot fusion they had, you know, billion-dollar industry, even at, in its research and development, I think they have $11 billion sunk into this Tokamak project over in France, an international project. These guys were part of that, and they replicated the, or attempted to replicate the Pons and Fleischmann experiment in 89. And even before their experimentation was completed, which they cooked the books on, by the way.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
In making it look even worse than it was, they had a wake for cold fusion, basically, you know, a funeral, so to speak. And that became the cry or the marching orders for the entire academic community. And from that point on, cold fusion was given the crackpot science or junk science label. And they have not been able to shake that label, despite the fact that there have been thousands of replications by institutions around the planet over the last 23, 24 years since 89. I guess that'd be 23 years. And now there are several groups that are really close to commercial units of the kilowatt range. So no, cold fusion is not bunk. It's just about here.
So how did Defcalion Green Technologies pull this one off? You obviously, on the website, pswiki.com, you have a photo of yourself standing right next to it, a green box with obviously kind of a window or translucent front so you can kind of look into it. What is happening in there?
Yeah, in that particular unit I'm standing by is seven generations behind what they have now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, that one looks pretty good. Not that looks are important in science and devices, but just to give you an idea of how serious they are, this is a company that has 36-plus people working full-time in the various aspects of the business, from business to the technology to the measurement to the website and all the whole gamut. They actually started as a licensee of Andrea Rossi, who is a former number one in our top five. Andrea Rossi of Italy, who did a presentation. I think I covered that when we had our interview.
Yeah, I definitely. You're talking about the ECAT, obviously. I definitely want to talk more about that a little bit later because that's a big one. I want to hear about what has happened there. But go ahead, Sterling.
Yeah, they were a licensee of the ECAT, and the ECAT is now also off the top five, but not because of the science is not legitimate, but because the inventor is kind of a maverick, do it my way, and doesn't take really good input from the people who are trying to help him on the inside. He's kind of a one-man band, and he's very eccentric.
As and, usual, huh? An eccentric scientist in that sense, who want to have it his way. Yeah.
Not quite to the showstopper level, but almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of these people who've been sunk in a lot of money to help him and get this thing rolling are very disappointed in him because he's basically the own worst enemy scenario there in killing that project, which otherwise could be very successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so Defcalion was one of the fallouts of that. They were licensed to take the technology to the whole planet minus the U.S. and the military. So they had a pretty big stake, and they were going to be the ones who did the demonstration in last October that I went to in Bologna, ended up being in the half a megawatt output for over 5 hours, continuous self-loop, 5.5 hours, was the first customer signed off that it was indeed, you know, something that they liked. Anyway, Defcalion was supposed to be the venue for that demonstration, and in August, a few months before the October demonstration, they had a falling out. And it's, you know, fairly complex as to the reasons behind that, but it had a lot to do with what I was just describing.
Right, yeah, I understand.
Yeah. And so they've invested a lot of money into this, and rather than just walk away and say, oh, darn it, we don't get a play, they ended up actually figuring out how this nickel-hydrogen fusion reaction takes place, and they have come up with their own technology. Their engineers and scientists have basically been able to come up with a workable technology, and being professionals, they're doing a much better job of presenting it to the market in terms of they're doing the third-party testing in a very rigorous way that the scientists are happy with, so that the investors can then come in with their money, so that you can then get the license, so you can then take it to market. None of which are things which that Andrea Rossi was doing. You'd never get a scientifically sound demonstration of his technology. Everything always had loose ends that didn't satisfy.
Really? I thought he did, though. I actually got a... There was even a, well, not a mainstream paper, but a technical, you know, magazine, online magazine here in Sweden that actually covered Ross's ECAT. And from their point of view, they were impressed. They didn't really know what to kind of make of it and stuff. But from their point of view, it seems like it was pretty much legit. But maybe I'm missing some of the details there.
That was one of the better demonstrations that they did to the Swedish Skeptic Society, where they went in basically... you know, very skeptical, as is their name.
Oh, yeah.
And what they saw was an amount of heat that was being produced that could not be ascribed to chemical processes. So they had to say it must be nuclear. There must be something to this. And so I agree with you that, in my opinion, there have been a number of really good demonstrations, but you know, I'm not the nuclear scientist. I'm not the calorimetry specialist who looks at the heat in, heat out. And from what is said in the scuttlebutt among those who are supposed to have that knowledge, is that none, including the Swedish Skeptics demonstration, had particular weaknesses that were not 100% satisfactory.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Defcalion is not only doing a satisfactory test, but they're doing it with seven independent groups, and I believe those results will be published probably the end of this month.
Wow, so they're really moving ahead. What if we just, since we have the Defcalion group coming out of the ECAT developments, let's just talk a bit about how the technology differs, because ECAT is so-called low-energy nuclear reaction, correct? LENR.
Right, and the reason it's called low energy is because compared to the sun, it doesn't take nearly as much energy to get the hydrogen and the nickel atoms to fuse, hence the name low energy. Something in the process is able to get those things to come together, and in so doing, they generate a lot of heat. And that heat is then harnessed as a product, which is energy for the use, whether it's for heating or turning a generator, a turbine, boiler, turbine generator system.
So it's kind of, sorry to interrupt, but it's kind of like a small nuclear, you know, power plant in that sense. Then you could use it. You boil water simply and running a turbine, correct?
The difference being that the fuel is pennies rather than billions of dollars, and a device might cost 4,000 euros. That is a 4 to 45 kilowatt system. That's a lot of heat, by the way.
A five to 45
kilowatt system, 5 kilowatts would heat most houses, provide your hot water and heating needs. And then if you need more than that, you've got up to 45 from the unit that you get. And you go through one basically chamber at a time. There's nine chambers in a 45 kilowatt system, and each one lasts 6 months. And so if you're using two at once, then you know, you just do the math on that. Or if you're using all nine at the same time, then you have 6 months of use before you need to replace the system. It's basically like, it would be like the cartridges on your printer kind of scenario.
Okay.
And it might be $30, for example, to replace your fuel. So you're producing 5 kilowatts of heat per chamber for, in the ballpark of $30 a year.
Wow. Well, that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So how impressed are you with, if we then for a moment here look at the Defcalion Green Technologies, their device, that's number one, obviously, on your list then right now, for kind of obvious reasons. And this is part and parcel because of the fact that they can actually talk about it. They can, in a sense, market it in the right way as well, correct?
Yeah. Not only do they have a good technology, but they've got a team that is able to bring it forward. Because one of the things you often find in the free energy world is that an inventor becomes his own worst enemy. And he might have a great idea, but he's so eccentric that no one can work with him. And you see that over and over and over again, where interpersonal conflicts become the greatest obstacle to these things going forward. I say that getting the technology working is 20%, financing is 20%, the men in black is 10% of the equation. 40% of the equation of the obstacles to overcome to get to market is interpersonal conflicts. People can't get along with each other, eccentric inventors who are impossible to work with.
That's amazing. Considering what's at stake, in a sense, or what could potentially be achieved, that people can't set their personal dilemmas, if you will, to the side for a moment and get this thing off the ground, you know?
Yeah, you get greed to inventors with crazy expectations. They want their $500 million that they're going to make up front.
Yeah. Wow, so that is obviously a really exciting development then. And just one more time, run this by us. When are they possibly looking at this being commercially available in different parts of the world? I guess it would be marketed to the Greek people first, perhaps. And by the way, that's interesting, considering the country that's been in so much turmoil over this banking scandal and how they've been, you know, robbed in that sense by the bankers, that they actually could that the country is producing something like this. It's kind of a interesting turn of events, if you will.
Yeah, it really is, and I think it's great irony, and I think it's fitting for the kind of dynamics of the state that we live in, where while the corrupt powers that be are turning this society into a train wreck, going off the cliff, so to speak, meanwhile, there's these other things that are coming into the scene that can help turn things around, mitigate the collapse, if not stop it altogether, can mitigate it significantly. And the more effort we put into these solutions, the more rapidly these things can become available. A lot of these things just languish because they don't have enough money. And we're not talking about millions of dollars in a lot of cases. We're talking about a few thousand dollars to do some key research to get a solid prototype that an investor can come and sign off on to get it going, with more momentum. And the more help you get, the faster these things will emerge. That's why I'm urging people like Alex Jones to get with it. There's a solution here that is very much freedom-based. Free energy is all about freedom. It empowers the individual.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. Are you in contact with Def Kalion, and will they make announcements to you as well, or are you watching their website in terms of developments? Because, as you said, we're pretty close potentially then to a release of this. So will we know when that happens, actually?
Yeah, I have a pretty good relationship with them. They're very close-lipped, and they see me as a blabbermouth. That's my role. I'm a journalist. And so they tend to, hold back in how much they talk to me, but I have other people who are working with them that I can also get information from. And I try to get permission before I put anything about them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Just generalities, not specifics. But again, we're looking at the end of April to get a press release probably on the results of this independent testing that they've just finished, or are in process of doing, I should say. They're not finished yet. And then we're probably, like I said, this is scuttlebutt. This is not directly from them. When I asked them when this will be available commercially, they said soon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best they could give me was
okay.
Soon.
Okay, yeah. And do you know if this is something then that, I mean, are they looking at building all the units that they produce, or are they looking at a situation where they want to set up a shop in different countries where they can, begin and have branches, in a sense? Do you know what their plan is?
The latter. they're licensing the technology, so other people will be doing the manufacturing of the technology.
Okay, that's great news in that sense.
Yeah.
So, any idea about running through the cost again for the consumer at the end if they wanted to just pick one of these up? Do you know how much it would be?
Yeah, the for the Def Callahan one, we're looking at where did I have that? Going off the top of my head, I believe it was in the region of 5 kilowatts. I had a PowerPoint presentation that I prepared. There it is. Let me pull that up.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Anyway, it was in the ballpark of 4,000 euros for one of these 5 to 45 kilowatt systems. And you know, I mentioned earlier that we're probably looking at the middle of 2012, so not long from now, before the first ones will start being made available somewhere on the planet.
And so 4,000 euros, I can pull that up in U.S. dollars a little bit here if you don't have that in front of you as well. But basically then what that means is that that's the whole the core, so to speak, of the thing. And then what you do later on when each individual, is it battery that runs out? You buy new parts or what is it that runs out again? Remind us about that.
There's a nickel and hydrogen that's being used really slowly.
Yeah.
And so you have to replenish the nickel and the hydrogen.
That's right. Okay. So these are not these are not expensive parts. And again, you estimated that they could last for, 6 months maybe? Something like that?
Yeah. Each canister, each module, there's 9 modules in one system. Each module lasts 6 months.
Wow. Okay. That's really good. I also want to just give the conversion here as well.
Okay, here's the frustrating. I've got it in front of me. It's 5,500 euros for a 45 kilowatt system.
Yeah. And that is, by the way, in U.S. dollars as well for our American friends out there listening, $7,200.
Okay.
So that's like I don't know how that much that would cost in over there, but I don't know how much heating units, geothermal to a house, what that costs, but wouldn't that be in kind of the similar range, something like that?
I think the return on investment is, depending on the cost of electricity, is going to be between 2 and 5 years, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's very short in that sense. That's great.
Yeah, because you don't have the fuel costs, and everything after that is all, payback, so to speak.
All right. Well, that's really exciting news in that sense. That's really good. And this is obviously, at the moment, then, as we mentioned, on number one on your list. And I think, Sterling, that this is a good place to, take a little break here between the segments as we're going to carry on in the next hour talking more about the other run-ups here in the second, third, et cetera, place here. Why don't we just talk a little bit then about your websites as well, Sterling, and obviously if there's any way that people can get involved and obviously help you out for bringing all this information out to us, of course. Immensely important work of condensing and coalescing all this data. So give us the websites and tell us how people can either get involved or help you out directly, Sterling.
We own a number of domains. The easiest one to remember is freeenergynews.com. And, of course, that redirects you to the homepage of PezWiki.com. That stands for Pure Energy Systems Wiki, like Wikipedia, or the Wikipedia of Free Energy. You've got a very exhaustive directory on basically all things renewable energy, but with an emphasis on exotic free energy technologies. PESN.com, Pure Energy Systems News, is the stories that we compose almost on a daily basis about these various developments from around the world. But for the top five, again, you mentioned top five energy. That's both the number five and spelled out. We own both.com forwards you to our top five listing. There's a lot of ways that people can help, and we do have pages on our site, including links from the home page where you can go to get ideas about what you can do, and there's a big, long shopping list, so anyone in this audience, there are things that you can do, everything, putting a news widget on your website if you've got one, to, you know, chipping in with some donations on some of the inventors' projects that you like, getting involved in an open source project, letting your favorite news source know about this stuff so they start covering it. You know, there's so many things that you can do. Just increasing the meme and just knowing that this stuff is coming, it's amazing what hope can do for the human psyche.
Yeah.
You know, they call the depression a depression for a reason. If you've got hope, depression loses its power.
Yeah, that's right.
And the powers that be want us depressed.
It's true, because then we're obviously at the most, we're more vulnerable and become dependent on their solutions at those points. But as soon as we attain that level of freedom, which free energy obviously would give us, then we are out of their realm in that sense, and we are doing our own thing, which is awesome in that sense. So absolutely, we urge everyone to check out the websites. They're a great source of information about all of these exciting new developments that are happening right now. So again, freeenergynews.com, peswiki.com, or pesn.com. That's three other websites for very good information. Stay with us, Sterling. We'll be right back after this short break.
Nights and cities of despair, where killer sunsets sun
second hour, available now in our members area, we are going to continue to discuss the top 5 free energy devices reviewed by Pure Energy Systems. We'll get into the specifics, such as research and development, technical components, government regulations, and the certification process. Alan talks about how the academic community is not giving attention to these devices, despite the scientific data and evidence. Additionally, no major science magazine are giving proper coverage of these developments. Then we discuss morality and free technology. Alan explains how people who are for freedom and independence, not collectivism, are for free energy. We talk about how free energy can empower the individual and free the slave from the system. Sterling discusses the collapse of the government, society's addiction to government, and socialism as our demise. Very important, hour two is coming up. Go to redeyescreations.com, click on members, or subscribe to tune in. Stream, download, get the program through RSS feed, use our iPhone app or mobile site. There's a number of ways you can tune in and listen to the program. Next up on Red Eyes Radio, we have Christer Johansson talking about the horrible case of the kidnapping of his son Dominic by the Swedish Social Services. Then we have Matt Stein, Stefan Molyneux, Desiree and JJ Hertak, William Davis, Louise Turi, Mark Weber, Mary Sean Young, Kurt Lindahl, Tom Horn, Jay Widener, Dean Clifford, and Jordan Maxwell, to name a few. Stay with us, much more coming up after the break.